But as you take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. I'd like to take this time to thank each and every one of you for every expression of kindness you've shown to us since we have been here. We love you all. We love coming here. We appreciate your pastor and his wife and family so much. And it's just been a blessing to have the fellowship with each of you, especially your dear pastor. I was thinking a while ago when they were singing the song, what we've missed by being a Christian. I was reminded of a message that Brother Richard Hines preached many years ago. Powerful message. What I've missed by being a Christian. I'd like to hear that again. It's been many years since I heard that message. My mother loved that message. She listened to that tape over and over again. What I've missed. We've missed a lot by being Christians, right? Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Tonight, we come to you with a burden of heart. This last service, my message deals with the subject, the last invitation. The last invitation. Beginning in Genesis chapter 7, we have God's invitation for Noah and his family to come in the ark. The Bible is filled with invitations for people to come to God. God's great purpose in redemption is very clear. Man's lost in sin. God gave his son to redeem mankind. He invites everyone to come to him through Jesus Christ. God used around 40 men to write the Bible. John the beloved apostle was last. He was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, where God used him to write the book of Revelation. Often on a final night of a revival, the last verse of the song, invitation. Many evangelists will ask, just sing one more verse. Just one more verse for the person who hasn't moved. So God here tells John, oh, don't close the book. Wait. Let me give one more invitation. Let me put out one more invitation for sinners to come to Christ. Maybe God's inviting you tonight. Maybe he's giving you one more opportunity to come to Christ, to be saved. Come. Seems to be a favorite word with God. Jesus invited people to come to see, come and drink, come and dine, come and rest. Come is a word that echoes with sweet music from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Who invites sinners to come? It's the blessed, sweet Holy Spirit that invites men to come. The first work of the Holy Spirit in the human heart is to convict men of sin. Point them. Thank God to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It's he that brings men and women, boys and girls, to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus met Paul on Damascus Road, he said to Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Amen. What was those pricks? The sharp, picking, God-dealing poking at the conscience of the Apostle Paul. You who are unsaved, no doubt you've felt these same blows on your conscience. Who invites the sinners to come? You, the church, the bride of Christ. Church, this is a great challenge for us. We should be about the business of inviting people to come to Jesus Christ. He said, the bride says, come. Everything we do should revolve around getting the gospel to men and women, boys and girls. We're living in a world that's growing darker every day. Oh my. How dark this old world is becoming. We hold the light in our hands and in our hearts. We must take this to a lost world. Amen. Surely every church, every branch of the bride is to be calling sinners to come to Jesus. This is our primary mission as the church of God. Come, lost sinner. Come to Jesus. Come to one who can save your soul and satisfy the deepest longings in your heart. The chief task of the church is to win souls. And everything we do should have to do with the ultimate aim of seeing people saved. Every here is to invite. Are you on the way to heaven? You're on your way to heaven? Then tell someone else what Jesus has done for you. You'll become a happier and a stronger Christian. Who are those who are invited? We looked at who, my friend, was invited, but who are they that's invited? Amen. People that are thirsty. If you're thirsty, he's saying, come. Observe the person designated to whom it is addressed. The persons that are addressed here, those that's thirsty, those that will. Let him that is athirst, this means every individual who is dissatisfied with life and the pleasures of sin, everyone who is tired of sin, everyone who wants peace of heart. Jesus said, come. Amen. The word of thirst. Talk about a craving that you have. There's a universal need stamped upon the heart of every individual. There's a universal void in the heart of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. This world's promises do not satisfy. The world's promises deceive. Many did not know the ills that await them. They recognized the gnawing, the discontent, the utter restlessness, the continual feeling after something more than they have, but they do not know where to find it. I think about a young girl. She's related to me. She started out and God gave her a good husband and four lovely children, but she wasn't satisfied. Had a happy home, precious, precious family. She'd want something else. She divorced her husband. She's been from one lover to another, but guess what? She's still not satisfied. She didn't have no money when she was married to speak of, and after she got divorced, she had less money, and she filed bankruptcy, and she went through a lot of things and borrowed money. She wasn't satisfied like that. Now there's been a turnaround in her life as far as financially, and she's well off. She owns lots of houses, and she owns lots of cars. She even buys cars for other people. But she's more miserable today than she's ever been. All those things didn't satisfy her. She looked for satisfaction in another lover. She looked for satisfaction in cars and houses and prestige. But guess what? She's still thirsty. inside is still not satisfied. You know what I believe? I believe the world is full of thirsty people. They're just looking to quench their thirst in the wrong places. If you're thirsty, I want to recommend Jesus to you. He'd satisfy you. Amen. That void on the inside, I know what it is. Only Jesus can fill that void. All right. Who are invited? Whosoever will. That's the same whosoever will that John 3:16 talks about when he said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those who will to be saved are invited. You will to be saved. If in your heart you will to drink the water of life, you're invited to come. None go to heaven by chance. All go to heaven by choice. You're not going to go to heaven by chance. You go to heaven by the choices you make. Whosoever will. It has to do with the will. Someone might say, I don't understand the plan of salvation, Brother Dishman. It's very little to do with understanding, but it has everything to do with your will. The appeal goes not to the understanding, but it goes to whosoever will. Do you will to be saved? The will often puts a bridle on the understanding and turns men away from Christ. If you're willing, he's willing. There's no barrier between the sinner and the Savior except the individual's will, your choice. Amen. God never burglarizes the human will. There's a song we sang, and I often think about it during invitations. It says, renounce at once thy stubborn will. That's what a sinner has to do. Many years ago, I stood in the invitation, and I had an old stubborn will. But I renounced that stubborn will. And God saved my soul. Whosoever will. Thank God he didn't say whosoever's worthy, because I wasn't worthy. And that's not all. You're not worthy either. Amen. You know what I thought? Whosoever is a great big word. Whosoever does not exempt any individual. The invitation is broad. Whosoever will. Men die and go to hell without Jesus Christ, but they will not die and go to hell without an invitation. God's given you an invitation. This may be your last one. Whosoever will speaks of all classes of people. God offers salvation to all classes. It speaks of all colors, of all people. It speaks of all conditions of people. Whosoever will goes to heaven. Whosoever will not goes to hell. Salvation is sufficient for whosoever, but it's only efficient for whosoever will. What is the invitation? It is to take of the water of life freely. And thank God, Jesus provides the water. He offers it to you. But you got to take it. He doesn't force you to take the water. When you're desperately ill and the doctor says, I've got a cure for you, you take the cure. When you're sick in sin and the great physician offers you the only remedy for sin, you take the remedy or you die. I'm talking to you, if you're here and without God, the only remedy for you is Jesus Christ. He's the only remedy. No other remedy but him. The good thing about it, the water of life is freely. Take freely the water of life. If you have money on this earth, you can stay in the best hotels. If you have money, you can eat the most expensive food. You can wear the finest clothes. You can ride in the most highest priced cars. You can fly in the biggest jets. But you can go to heaven without money and without price. God's not here tonight trying to sell you something. He's saying, whosoever will, just take the water of life freely. I'm telling you, the water of life provides satisfactions of all the desires. The water of life will fill up every empty place in your heart, meeting and answering all expectations. In John 19, 28, we hear Christ cry on the cross, I thirst. I'm thirsty. I thirst. He thirsted that my thirst and your thirst could be quenched. He said in John 4, 13, Jesus entered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He also said in John 6, 35, Jesus declared that he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Christ offers to those who believe in him an ever-flowing, a never-fading, a soul-satisfying, thirst-quenching inner supply of living water. And let him that's thirst, and whosoever will, let him take. Jesus stood in John 7, 37, and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Come, take, drink these three things. Come, take, drink, seem to cover the same ground. Christ is simply asking men to trust his poor, sinful soul wholly and confidentially in him. You know, I might be like a kid in some ways, but I still like fireworks. You? I like to watch them. I think it's amazing what they can do with them fireworks, isn't it? They're doing things with them now they never used to do when I was a boy. But you know what I like? The grand finale. My children said, you think this is a grand finale? I said, no, you'll know when it gets here. The grand finale. You know what I believe? All these invitations down to the Bible. From Genesis all through the Word of God and through the Gospels. Got down to Revelation. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. Said, let's give them a grand finale. Let's give them one last invitation. And he said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, what a Savior we have. He can save the highest. He can save the lowest. He invites you to come to him today. I've talked to you about the last invitation in the Bible. And this could be a last invitation for someone that's here tonight. We could interview those poor souls in hell. Each one of them came to a service, and it was their last invitation. Everybody in hell had their last invitation. But you know the sad thing about that is? They didn't know it was the last invitation. They thought they'd have plenty more. They didn't have any more invitations. God only knows down through the years, the Church of God in Newark, Ohio, how many people sat right here in this church and received their last invitation. God only knows down through the years and the revivals we've been in how many people sat and heard the gospel. God dealt with their heart, and it was the last invitation. This invitation is vitally important. In the words of our text, we have one of the clearest calls to salvation that can be found anywhere in the Bible. This is where the Bible makes that last plea. But here's the trouble. Man is not willing to do the little things to produce great effects. Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and pay a great price so there could be a great effect. But many times the sinner won't do the little thing of getting up out of their seat, come to this altar, repent of their sins, when if they would, it would be a great effect. This invitation was given 2,000 years ago, but it's still good. It's still for tonight, and it's for you. It's still up to date. The Spirit and the Bride says come. Along with all those who've heard the truth, God's still inviting the sinners to come. Now in closing, I want to ask you a question. Are you a candidate? Somebody said, I don't know. Are you thirsty? Then you're a candidate. Are you willing to come to Jesus? Are you? If you're willing to come to Jesus, you are a candidate. And if you are one of them, that the Bible says, whosoever will, then that you are a candidate. Thank you, Father, for helping us bring the message you laid upon our hearts.